Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In preparing today's sermon, I was trying to come up with a title for my message, and I had a couple that were somewhat clever, some that were possibly offensive, and I'll tell you what they are, and then I'll get into my message. But the cute ones were Mary, Mary, quite contrary, Mary had a little lamb, and then in a moment of marketing persona for my pre-ministry career, I thought of Maryheimer. Now, some of you are looking at me wondering what I'm talking about, and others of you are probably already cringing because you're thinking about the brouhaha around Barbenheimer last summer. I am not going to mix those two up, but Mary's story is really big. Mary's story also has posed us questions and left us with mysteries to ponder over the years. For example, where in Scripture does it say that Jesus was a virgin birth? Nowhere. It is not in the Bible. How do we know that Mary said the words of the Magnificat? Close textual analysis shows that those words are very, very similar to the Song of Hannah in the Hebrew Bible. And if you have ever had a child, I have not, I fathered one, but I imagine that you were not singing songs to God and that no one was there to write down your words. Yet somehow, the writer of the Gospels thought it was important that we associate this message with Jesus and his birth. So what are we being told? That God is great and God is powerful? We're being told that God identifies with the lowly and the meek. And yes, you might think, wait a minute, that's not the God I know. The God I know cares about the rich and the powerful. Not the God in Scripture. Not the God that Jesus embodied. Now, I am not saying that Jesus was some kind of proto-Marxist. And I'm not saying that Hannah was singing the songs and praises of a revolution. That is people laying their own desires on Scripture. But we do know that people in power have often abused their positions. We do know that the poor have often been exploited, that the poor have been treated like they do not matter. The poor do matter. Now, we do not conduct any kind of income test when you come into church. I do not know what any of you make. I might be able to guess that for some of you. The bottom line is the Word of God is for all people. Think about that. The Word of God is for all people, not just the ones who look like us, who talk like us, who dress like us, who live in our neighborhood. It is for all people. And the birth we're going to celebrate tonight was a huge event in human history. Think about it. Mary, I think, could have said no to God when she got this message that she was going to be the parent to the baby Jesus. But she went along with God's plan. And think about those words we say in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Do we often pray for God's will to be done? Or do we pray for God to do what we want God to do for us? So these are thousands of years of bad theology I'm trying to counter. And I've said this before, God is not some sort of sugar daddy who is waiting for us to come to him and say, here's what I need, give it to me. And if you've studied history, you know that human cultures have long based themselves on propitiating the gods. We are not going to be sacrificing any animals today to God. We're not going to be turning over all of our cash to God. But yes, the church will ask something of you. And I will ask you for your support during the stewardship moment later on. But what God is really asking of us, frankly, is to be decent people, to love our neighbor, to care for one another. How hard should that be? We should be able to spread a little bit of joy amongst one another. Now, a few of us were here last night for the Christmas concert, and I don't think those of you who were here last night would disagree with me that this place was packed, and it was full of enthusiasm and joy. And those of us who are here were blessed to hear the music and to see the performances. Imagine every seat in this building filled. Every seat was filled. Now, as your preacher, I would love for that to be the case every Sunday. But I'm glad you're all here. Each and every one of you, your presence matters. And you too on Zoom. I know Zoom has not been our best friend these last few months, and we've had our technical difficulties, but I'm glad that you're able to join us. But I am glad that you all are here in the pews today. Whether you're young or old, whether you're a newcomer or a regular, your presence here matters. Now, there are other things you could be doing this morning. I'm not sure what they are. You could depress yourself and watch Sunday morning talk shows. You could spend lots of time scrolling online. Doom scrolling, I believe it's called. I've done it. And I can complain about the internet, but there are some really good things on the internet. Some of which are really strange, but they're good. And one of them was an image of the nativity scene that was peopled with characters outside of Scripture. So there were Commander Riker and Counselor Troy standing in for Joseph and Mary. The baby was an alien. Batman was on top of the manger. This is not what I learned in divinity school. And none of this happened. But it got me thinking about the Christmas story. And I hope you ladies will be thinking about this too, going forward. The story happened 2,000 years ago. We cannot rewrite it. But the ending is still to be written. God still has a role for each and every one of us to play. Each of us can sing our own version of the Magnificat. Which brings me back to Mary. She was one tough broad, wasn't she? Think about it. This young woman who finds out she's pregnant, and she's going to give birth to the Son of God. And then think of what the world had in store for him. And think about what Mary felt throughout each and every step of Jesus' life. She saw him go off and become an itinerant preacher. She saw him get into arguments with religious authorities. She saw him be noticed by the Romans. Now, in today's world, all this would sound good. People are trying to get attention for themselves online. They're trying to create an identity. Jesus did that. Jesus did that without memes that said how cool he was. Jesus did that by caring for the poor and the ill and the lonely and the prisoner and all the people we generally forget about. And we know how the story is going to end. With Jesus' death on a cross. So I had a little bit of discussion with Bob Ross before worship this morning. I'm sorry, Bob, I'm drawing you into this. But we were talking about Advent and Easter. And Bob, thank you, Bob, reminded me of the importance of Advent and celebrating the inbreaking of light into our world. That's really important. And yes, none of this would matter if we didn't have Easter. But that's me as a Christian speaking. As a human being, Christmas is really important in and of itself. How could we not use more light in the world today? There's enough hate to go around. There's more than enough killing and death. There are people who are hungry right here in our country. And the list goes on. So we, followers of Jesus, whether we are fully committed, whether we're still asking questions, can give thanks to God for sending his son to us. If you haven't had a chance to appreciate the ice sculpture in front of the church, please do so. It's not a refugee from Winter Carnival at Dartmouth. It was a gift before last night's concert. And I got to watch the man carve some of the sculpture. And he had a chainsaw out. And a family with a little boy came by. And you would have thought that little boy had won the lottery. Little boys and power tools are really neat things to watch. Little boys and power tools are not two things that should be put together. And I would say that for little girls too. But the joy on his face as a big chunk of ice was carved off of the larger block of ice was palpable. And then he picked up the block of ice and he walked around with it. And then he threw it at the base of one of our trees. That was joy in action. That joy was able to be offered because of the concert we had here last night. Our church offers space for performers to share their gifts. We do that regularly. That is what we're called to do. We're not called to wear sandwich boards and stand out on the sidewalk and tell people they're going to hell if they don't accept Jesus Christ. God doesn't need us to do that. Think about it. What can you do that God cannot do? If we believe that God is the Lord and creator of the whole universe and everything in it, what can you do that God cannot do? Well, on one hand, you can do nothing. On the other hand, there's lots we can do because God put us into a world in which the story is still unfolding. So, yes, we can take care of our family and our friends and our community. And we can share some love with one another and some joy. And we can ponder the words of the Magnificat and think just about what Mary was saying in her moment of joy. I hope you have many moments of joy in the days and weeks to come. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sorry, I just said my pre-sermon prayer. I'm on autopilot now. Holy and gracious God, thank you for the gift of the Magnificat and for Mary's witness. Thank you for all the prophets, the men and women throughout the ages who have spoken to your glory and your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.